just like a clear voice.
Okay, just hold on one moment. I believe that the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be conducting a hearing, sir. So just hold on, sir.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Brooks?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you able to hear me well enough? That phone has been acting up, it sounds like.
Yeah, I can hear you. Barely can hear you, but I can hear you.
Okay, I'll try to make sure I speak up. Could you please just start by stating your name and your ABC number?
Yeah, Michael Cleo Brooks, 036259.
Thank you, sir. We're here before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a parole hearing, and this would be a 412B parole, which would be parole to a consecutive sentence. Or absolute discharge, either one of those. And your eligibility date for that would be July 20th of 2018. So it's still in the future. If the board were to grant you that today, it would take effect in July.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'd like to introduce you to the board members conducting the hearing. If you look at the far end of the bench for me, at your right, is the Honorable David Neal. In the center of the bench, we have our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. I'll just start with a brief summary. Mr. Brooks is 68 years old, and he's currently serving 3 years for the crime of indecent exposure, having just expired a sentence for sexual conduct with a minor. That was a 25-year sentence, and that expired on January 18th of 2017. He has also a consecutive sentence pending for 22 years for molestation of a child, a dangerous crime against children. The offense occurred on November 11th, 1991. I believe at that time Mr. Brooks was approximately 40 years old, and he was convicted via jury trial on April 20th, 1992, and sentenced on May 20th, 1992. He did appeal that, and one of the counts in that incident was remanded for resentencing. Mr. Brooks, is that everything correct thus far?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sir, thank you. Mr. Brooks has a criminal history that dates back to his, as a juvenile, in about 1962 in West Virginia. Some things like, there were arrests, if not actual convictions, curfew violation, fighting, incorrigible, that type of thing. And then in 1973, as an adult, he has some Arizona arrests or convictions for conspiracy to possess possession of marijuana, firearms possession, looks like a 1976 robbery committed while on probation, 1979 obstructing and aggravated assault. I think both of those were dismissed. And then in 1990 in Colorado, third-degree burglary, and in 1991 in Arizona, domestic violence. His discipline history in prison includes 13 majors. His last major was in 2016, so that would have been about March 18th, just about 2 years ago right now, for refuse to house. It's his first hearing before the board, and he has completed some programming. He's completed his GED and taken cultural diversity. Mr. Brooks is a veteran, so he is able to access veterans, had an honorable discharge, served in the Marines, I believe from 68 to 70, is that correct, Mr. Brooks?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Okay, so he's able to access veterans services. He has family support, according to his progress report, and he is financially stable. So it's possible there's a small amount of restitution owed. I wasn't able to establish maybe a small amount, $160 or so of restitution. So, Mr. Brooks, I'm not sure if you've met any of the members of this panel before, maybe Dr. Wright, because he's been on the board the longest.
This is my first time.
This is your first time for anything before the board. All right, well, then you've not met us, and we've not met you. So, we want to have the opportunity to get to know you a little bit, and just kind of, you know, where you are in your, you know, your life and your thinking and your philosophy. So, could you just start by telling us what happened on, it looks like November 11th, 1991. What happened? What was that crime about? And where were you coming from that day in your head?
You know what, man, that's been a long time ago. I walked in on my son and Elizabeth Hull, and he had his hands down her panties, and next thing I know, man, I just did what I did, you know. I don't even know why I did it. I really don't. I'm ashamed of it. It's not a good thing to do. I'm not good at my pride over the law, and I have no problems about doing in prison because I did what I did, you know. So, yeah, I'm ashamed of it, actually. That's not really it.
Okay, and the victims at the time were very, how old were the victims, sir?
Elizabeth was 7 years old at the time.
Okay, so seven-year-old. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And so what have you done? Have you taken programming or treatment since then about this?
No, ma'am. I took some cultural diversity. I took my GED. That's about all I've taken since I've been here. You know, I took a few college courses when I was at Lincoln.
Okay. So, certainly in all this time, you've had some time to think about this, sir.
Yes,
ma'am. What possessed you to do a thing like that?
I really don't know, ma'am. I thought about it, because, you know, I knew it was wrong, and I knew I should never did that, you know. It's just crazy that I would even think about doing something like that, because I can't tolerate it. It's not right, it's unacceptable, and I can't explain why I did that, ma'am. I really can't. It's lust, maybe.
Had you been drinking or using any drugs at the time, sir?
I was doing drugs just now.
What kind of drugs?
Methamphetamine.
Okay, and was that?
I was on methadone.
Okay.
I know that's a crazy cocktail, huh? Yeah.
So how long had you, the methadone was from coming off of heroin, or?
Yes, ma'am.
And how long did you use heroin?
Several years off and on.
Was it back from when you were in the service, or?
After I got out of the service.
After the service.
After, yeah, I was on the taking the morphine and the Demerol and stuff. And, yeah, after I got out of the VA hospital in Berkeley, West Virginia, I just graduated to the heroin, you know, because the pain kills were hard to get. The heroin was a lot easier to get.
Sure. Okay, and then you said strange cocktail. How'd you get involved in the meth?
I just went that way to another. It was available, it was presented to me, and I'm not very strong will. I just tried it, and I kind of liked it. Just evolved from there.
Okay, and when's the last time you used either one of those drugs?
When's the last time I used either one? It's been over 2 years now.
Okay, more than 2 years.
So
it was available to you there in the prison?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
We know. We understand. We understand. We know it's, but we hear stories all the time about availability of drugs.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah. So, sir, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Okay, so, Mr.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Brooks?
Yes, sir.
Just to get an understanding of you, because when we look at the whole person and the whole file, when we consider parole cases, did you serve in Vietnam?
Yes, I did, sir.
And I also saw on your record that there was a murder that you acquitted of. Now, that's not what we're here for. I recognize that, but what happened there?
It was just somebody, some guy that robbed and killed this Sioux person in West Virginia that owned a Sioux store in a little hometown that I was living in at the time called Keystone, West Virginia. And I guess this guy, I was going over to see my grandmother and my grandfather and my Volkswagen, and I guess he seen me drive by. So when they questioned him, he threw it at me. I was a camp captain when that happened, and I was getting ready to go to Vietnam, and they come and they locked me up in the maximum security unit over. Then they let me out a couple months later after they found out that he had actually did it.
And then you went to Vietnam?
Yes.
Were you injured there?
Yes, I was.
I noticed your criminal history is kind of all over the place. Somewhere along the way, did you develop an attraction to children?
No, none whatsoever. No, I've got a son and a daughter. I'm gonna be honest with you. That day, I walked in on Joe Busey and Elizabeth Hall, and like I said, he was saying that I'm trying to disappoint with, and I don't know what come over me, you know. But I did what I did. I'm ashamed of what I did. There's no excuse for it. But I've never did that before. I did that, so I have to own that.
Thank you, sir. No further questions?
Anyone else have a question?
Okay, yes, ma'am. Sir, you seem to me that that's kind of unusual. You said you had never done anything, anyone when you were young, did anyone molest you or anything in your history that would have forced you to do that, sir? Not forced you, but that would have resulted in you giving out that type of behavior, sir?
The only time that I can actually say that actually happened to me was a minister. He was holding a revival at my dad's church, but he groomed me, he welcomed me down there, but there was no, that was as far as it went, because I got up and I left, and I went to bed that night. But that's the only time that anything like that ever happened to me, yes, one time.
Now, what happened to the other person? You said there was somebody, who was that? That was your son who was doing something to Miss Hall? Who was that, sir, when you walked in the room?
Oh, that was my adopted son.
Your adopted son? James
Cromwell.
Now, how old was your adopted son at the time, sir?
He was five.
Oh, so he was young, okay. So he didn't have to do it at the time. You were the only one who was incarcerated, so.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, have you, and I know you're not supposed to have, but have you had any contact at all with any of the victims or any of those that you, that was around at that time, you know, the mother or anybody else? Have you had any contact at all?
No, not so well.
Okay. And if this board moved you to the next consecutive sentence, I think that's what we're here today for. Why do you think that would be important to you when you would be moved to a next consecutive sentence, sir?
Why do I think that would be important? Well, you know, I'm 68 years old, and when you mention my next consecutive sentence, it's 22 years. At 68, 22 is, was it 90? So I don't know if I'm going to live to be 90 or not. I'm 3 years after about 93, so. I accept as a life sentence. I accepted death like 25 years ago, so I'm shocked that I'm actually seeing you guys today. I wasn't expecting it.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you seeing us, and I know those who say don't give up, because today people living, I probably won't make it, but people living there to be 90 and 100 years old these days, don't give up yet.
Yeah, I see that, yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you so much.
I'm not going to give up.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so much, sir. Thank you, man.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, sir, 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 sir.
Stay on the phone.
No.
No.
He didn't get... He disconnected and everything. We'll pause the hearing for a moment while we get Mr. Brooks back on the line.
I ran Mr. Brooks away. I don't know. What did I say? I'm down here to cook and see if somebody will come back. Hope to see if we can take him away.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We have not finished with him. Could you ask him to come back? Could you bring him back?
Oh, okay.
That's okay, Mr. Brooks. This is your first time, so you don't know how the hearings go. So we're not a problem.
No, I don't.
Not a problem. I just wanted to ask my fourth colleague if he had any questions. Mr. Neal, did you have any questions? Okay. Well, Mr. Brooks, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but we wanted to give you the chance to make any final statements you want to make to the board, particularly if you could talk about maybe what's different about you now than you were back then. I mean, what would, if you were, the tables were turned, what would you tell us? What would you want us to know?
You know, what I did was a terrible thing. I realize that when I stand there. All I can say is that I'm 25 years old and I'm 68 years old. And I think I've matured some. You know, I've got a little bit of, got some more education. I haven't really complained about doing any of this time. And what I did, I know was absolutely wrong. It's horrible. It's shameful. It's degrading. And it's, I live with her every day, so, I apologize to my victim, and I just like the opportunity to live the rest of my life in peace, you know, so, I really don't have that. I'm just, it is, everything is what it is, you know, I've been here, and I wasn't expecting this, you know, but I got some business to take care of myself.
All right, Mr. Brooks, thank you very much for that. Now, here's what's going to happen. The board is going to go into discussion. We do all of our discussion in public, so, and that includes you're going to stay right on the phone and listen, and then we'll come back to you with a decision right there on the spot. Okay, sir?
Okay,
so just stay on the phone there. Don't hang up.
All right.
Okay. The board is now in discussion, and Mr. Brooks an individual who does face another long sentence here and is currently on a short, relatively three-year sentence. It's his first hearing before the board, so he has been very pleasant with us today. He doesn't have any idea why he committed the crime he did, has had a drug problem in the past, but that doesn't seem to be a problem now. He said he last used more than 2 years ago in prison. My concern in this would just be the lack of any programming to address the crime, the sex crimes, and I realize that in some places it's not completely available, but he's at least in the right area of the prison system for it to be more available, either Cook or South, I believe, have programming. So those would be my, that would be my concern, but I would be interested to hear what other board members have to say. Mr. Quinones.
I don't want to be dismissive of the victim or his criminal past, but considering where he's at in his rehabilitation process and the fact that he's shown accountability, I'm open to considering parole to his next consecutive sentence, but I'm certainly also equally open to listening to the wisdom of my colleagues.
Well, Chair, I'm just a little hesitant, and the reason is because he seems not to know why he did it. I mean, and that's, and I know it was a long time ago, and I know we all tend to forget. I just wish he had a little better understanding of what had happened, and I think that's one reason why they'll be moving up and up. That's one reason that it's very important for him to take that program, and so that he can, so they can hopefully pull some of that out of him, and he can come up with, figure out what really happened. And because I don't think he quite, and for that particular reason, I'm not quite ready to move him on.
Yeah, I understand. Mr. Neal?
I agree with that. It's not that bad trouble with him that he does not know why he did it. And if you don't know why he did it, you can't move on not doing that. And so if he's considering his out and one on the one chance that he might just get the trigger that he nobody knows.
Yeah.
So I'm not in favor of moving forward. Just kind of.
Mr. Canales?
Yeah, just in the interest of my own accountability, I do agree with everyone. I think I'm just being pragmatic, but
yes.
I agree with my colleagues.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that 3-year sentence and then it's another 22
years
on that. So, I mean, I understand.
Yep.
Your point.
No.
So, all right. I'm going to make a motion that, and that is, my motion will be to deny 412B. And absolute discharge. So to deny that for Mr. Brooks, and to request a 1-year set off for that.
Okay.
Who seconded? I'm sorry.
Mr. Neal.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Just could your voice is very soft today. Okay. Right. And as far as reasons, I'm going to say serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim. I'm going to say serious bodily injury. I'm going to say recent disciplinary infractions. Again, it's defined recent, but 2016. I believe there was one, let me look at my paper here. Yeah, 2016, there was a discipline. He's been very, very pleasant during the hearing, enjoyed talking to him, and actually release is not even considered at this time. I'd also check lack of programming, and specifically that what Dr. White mentioned, which is the some sort of programming that can help him think and process this through with himself and what he did and why he did it. So, do board members have anything else to add to that list?
No.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Brooks, we're back with you. And you heard the board's discussion. The board is voting to deny you your parole at this time. However, we would very much like to see you find some kind of treatment there that you can participate in. Anything that will help you see kind of why you did that crime. And part of the reason for that is that is what goes toward your own healing, but also you're being able to identify and not do that again when you start to have those thoughts again. So you heard the reasons. I think you understand the reasons. We just really like to see you involved in some programming, sir. So we appreciate, we enjoyed meeting you very much today. You've been very pleasant with the board, and we appreciate. We'll see you. We'll see you in about a year. The department will certify you, and you'll come back before this board in a year, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. And if you give the phone back to your CO3, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr.
Brooks.